Welcome to Two Beers In. I'm JD Miller.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby Klein.
And we've got a great show, a big matchup this week in the NFL, Packers and Bears. And we've got a guy who knows everything there is to know about the Packers is going to be joining us, Brian Groff. He is host of the Green and Gold Gridiron Sports Show up in Wisconsin. So excited to hear his take.
Yeah, I mean, so many different storylines coming in here. First off, the Packers have been beat up the first 3 weeks of the season. They do have one win coming in, but the only win is against the AFC. And we've talked about that before, about strong wins, like strong losses.
Yes.
That's not a great win. And no. When your losses are against an NFC North team, the Lions, and the Seahawks defending world champions, Packer fans are a little nervous.
Well, my biggest problem right now is Aaron Rodgers because he's my fantasy quarterback. And this week I had to go, am I going to start Aaron Rodgers? I even texted you this morning.
Yeah.
Do I start Aaron Rodgers or Phillip Rivers this week?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Brian and see what he thinks.
He's going to give you the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting week in football. The college games didn't really thrill me that much. I wanted Florida State to lose.
I think a lot of people were on that boat.
Man,
I didn't even like seeing Jameis on the sidelines cheering. I thought if you're suspended, you shouldn't even be on the sidelines.
Shouldn't be there. You get suspended from work. Where are you going to go, Bob? You're not going to be on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm not going to be hanging out at the water cooler.
And part of me was like, I wanted them to lose, but then everybody's going to say, well, we lost because we didn't have Jameis.
Yeah.
If they won, they're like, no. It's because we're a national championship team. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
But that was one game I did keep an eye on.
You know, it was a good game this weekend. My Indiana Hoosiers winning a football game.
I know, right?
I couldn't believe it, especially after the week prior losing to Bowling Green. I was like, this team is terrible. I can't watch another second of football. And I didn't watch the game. I was just checking my phone and I kept seeing, hey, we're right there. It was actually on the SEC network, so I didn't even get it. But I was like, oh my gosh, we're right there. We're right there. And then I went for a walk. I come home. I check it again. We won. I was like, all right.
And it was funny listening to the announcers because, you know, in the wrap-up shows and everything, it was more of shock than dismay.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. And then back to the NFL, shocking was injuries this week. And one of them, to me, the most gruesome was Ike Taylor for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Broke his arm. It looked like when I broke my arm back in June, your arm is bent in a way it shouldn't go.
Mm.
And we saw it happen. And I will say this, for the producer of that game, great job, because they didn't show a replay.
Oh yeah.
They showed up to the moment and then
cut away.
Yep. And then they didn't show anything until close up of him until he was up and they're moving him off in an air split. And they're like, hey, you don't need, I think it was, Kevin Harlan, I think, might have been doing that game. But was like, you don't need to see this. Trust us. You broke his arm. And I'm like, good for you. It wasn't that long ago that they would be like, you know what? We're going to show everything.
Every
show
angle Theismann. Of it. And this day and age, everybody's got it already. It's already recording. So you can just rewind live TV anyways. You could rewind it and see it if you wanted to that way.
Yeah.
And you'll see it online plenty. So good for them for doing that. And you know what's good for us today, JD?
We got beer. And I picked this up because we love trying different pumpkin beers this time of year. And I had never heard of this one. When I pulled it out of the fridge here at the studio, Bobby looked at it like, all right, it's my wild onion.
I thought it was because of the orange can.
But it is not. This is Anderson Valley out of Boonville, California. It's called Fall Hornin. Interesting. It's got a picture of a bear with antlers. Ale brewed with pumpkin and spices. So I'm going to give this a whirl.
It's a good one, JD. It's not a strong pumpkin flavor, but you do have a lot of spice. And for all you green people out there, it is a solar-powered brewery.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Wow.
What do you think of the beer?
I think it's good. I like it. I wouldn't put it there with wild onions.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's kind of the pinnacle for me for pumpkin beer.
Sure.
But it's pretty good. It doesn't have a long enough aftertaste for me.
I want a little more pumpkin.
But the spices are great. I wouldn't hesitate to buy it again.
Yeah, and I think you could drink a lot of these. No problem. Some of the pumpkin beers is you drink like two and you're like, well, I got to have something else. I got to have a palate changer. I don't think you need that.
I figured out why. Because I feel like sometimes with those, they have a little bit of the aftertaste is a creamy aftertaste.
Yeah.
To make it like a pumpkin pie with, you know, whipped cream. Mm-hmm. And so that's filling and you can't really do as much. But this, yeah, you can drink definitely more of these.
Nice.
So it's good beer. Good beer. Well, when we come back, we will talk to Brian Groff. Turn around to see you by my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know just what. We're now joined by Brian Groff, a broadcasting veteran. He's been in TV since 1996. Covered the Packers exclusively since 2002. He's co-host of the Green and Gold Gridiron Sports Show for Fox 55 in Wisconsin. And Brian and I kind of go way back, broadcasting roots. So it's great to have you on, Brian.
Yeah, great to catch up with you. Yeah, we do go back to 96. And if it wasn't for you leaving your job in Dubuque, I wouldn't have gotten into sports. So I have to thank you for that, so I can become a weekend sports guy there.
You know, it's yeah. I'll take it. I finally get credit for
any
something.
Gratitude he can get. He takes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it comes up quite a bit with the connections that we have with people moving within the business and how it all kind of set the domino effect. So yeah, you went back. You went to Mason City. I got into Dubuque, and then we have a friend of ours and someone who we've worked with for a long time up in Eau Claire, Bob Bradovich, and. Yeah, it all kind of went around in a circle, so it's kind of crazy.
Well, hey, let's dive right on in and talk about this matchup with the Packers and the Bears. My first question for you, can the Pack turn it around? Aaron Rodgers, 62.7 completion percentage, lowest of any single season total since he became a starter. Their running game, problematic, only 76 yards versus Detroit. Can they turn this ship around?
I think there's some time to turn things around. And history has shown that under head coach Mike McCarthy, the Packers have gotten off to slow starts. And then they've kind of figured out what they want to do. And then they put together a nice win streak. And I think the big thing for Packers fans now, Aaron Rodgers is telling everyone on his weekly radio show to just relax because he's got a handle on this. It's early on in the season. But I think in the preseason, everyone kind of thought that Mike McCarthy – who had high expectations coming out of camp, we thought that we would just be blown away once they got into the regular season, that they were just holding back, and all of a sudden they were ready to unleash these offensive weapons that they have. But the fact is they haven't been performing. Aaron Rodgers, the consensus is that he's blocking too much on Jordy Nelson. Jordy got that big contract in the offseason, and that's been great that he's been able to produce because that's what he's getting paid to. Randall Cobb is next in line to get a contract, but they haven't been getting as many contributions from him, and they didn't even throw to the side of the field where Richard Sherman was. So I think a lot of the question is, who is Aaron Rodgers throwing to outside of Jordy Nelson? And frankly, it's nobody. And the other part of it is Eddie Lacy has not been himself. And Mike McCarthy sort of called him out this week and said that he needed a lot better job out of Eddie. And you know, Lacy had a fumble the other day. He had a concussion already this year. There's a small minority of people who think that Stark should be the guy, but I think he's more of your change of pace guy. When he comes in, he looks real good, but I think you need that battering ram in there as well. But I think because it's early on in the season, I think they have a great chance to turn things around.
Well, follow-up to that, though, Cobb and Nelson combined for 58% of the Packers' offense. What does Green Bay do if the Bears take that away, especially since they're struggling running the ball? Where's that next weapon?
You know, that's the thing. They need, from that tight end position, they need someone to step up. And you look at the defense that was being played by the Lions when they went to that Tampa 2, and you really got to have a good run game, and they just don't have that. But with the tight ends, Andrew Corliss is a guy who he's gotten some targets from Aaron Rodgers, and he had the touchdown, and that was the only points that the Packers scored in that game. But they're in a world of hurt because Jermichael Finley doesn't provide that weapon from that position to open things up down the seam. Richard Rodgers is a guy who came in as a draft pick. They thought he had a good camp. I think there were some high expectations for him, but that hasn't happened. Brandon Bostic is another tight end who has really good speed. He was a receiver in college, but he had a fractured fibula, so he's still on the mend and working his way back in. The other part of it, and that's looking at the weapons that he has to throw to, the other thing is at right tackle, going back to Brian Bulaga, who had suffered an injury. He's had a couple injuries that ended his season over the last few years. But with Derek Sherrod there, there's been a lot of pressure, especially with Detroit. They're so good on that defensive line. They're getting pressure. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a whole lot of time to throw.
And he's not going to have a lot of time to throw with Houston, Jared Allen, and Willie Young coming at him in this game. But at least the Packers have Julius Peppers to throw at the Bears. Now, Julius Peppers has had himself a pretty good start to the season. What do you expect to see out of him coming into Chicago this week?
Yeah, Julius Peppers, we'll see how fired up he is to play against his former team. I think he provides something in going back to the Packers, bringing him in. People who aren't familiar with the Packers, the general manager, Ted Thompson, doesn't go out and bring in free agents. Ron Wolf, during that whole turnaround with the Packers in the early 90s and building them into a Super Bowl team, he used to bring guys in all the time. But the thing is with Ted Thompson is that he's a guy that he will draft and develop, and then if you're deserving of that second contract, then he'll keep you around. But for him to go out and get a Julius Peppers, that said, hey, this is a special player. He still thinks he can get something out of him. And what they're doing, they're moving him around a little bit. Sometimes I think the approach should be less is more, where he's not out there all the time, but you sort of pick and choose the spots. And they can bring him in, and they can put him on the line. They have him play linebacker. The pairing with Clay Matthews is big, because then you look at, who are you going to stop? Do you want to double team this one? Does that open it up for the other one? And vice versa. But the thing is with Clay Matthews over on that other side is he's been dealing with injuries too. And in fact, he wasn't out there during that final drive the other day against Detroit when the Panthers defense just simply couldn't get off the field, especially on third down. So, you know, Julius Peppers, he's still, from what he's shown, he's got a lot in the tank. And I would hope for a Packers perspective that he'd be juiced up to face his former team. And kind of interesting going back to the way his career with the Bears ended last year, where he was very close to ending that game and Packers season would have been over, but instead he gets blocked by John Kuhn, and because he doesn't get to Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers throws the touchdown pass to Randall Cobb, and all of a sudden the Packers, despite the horrible season they had and Rodgers missing a lot of it, that's the team that goes on to win the division.
Let's talk a little bit more about that defense too, because the Bears suck rushing the ball this season. They're ranked last in the NFL in total rushing, 64 yards per game, 28th in yards per carry. So you really, that's not going to be a concern to stop the running game, but it will be a concern to stop the pass. What do you think that secondary is going to be looking for? Because that's some big weapons there that the Bears have.
And I think you think back to pass matchups where Sam Shields, I believe, on Elshon Jeffrey, I think there were three offensive pass interference penalties that were ended up throwing on Jeffrey. The Packers secondary, they really got helped out with HaHa Clinton Dix. He had an interception last week, and that's the first time the Packers had a safety get an interception since December of 2012. They have Casey Hayward, who's been dealing with injuries, and he's back in the mix, although it's been interesting that he played more in week one and then not so much in week two. And they run a lot of nickel packages. They run a lot of dime packages. And then on the flip side, when he's not in there, Devon House is the guy who plays. I think that's one of their better strengths on that team. And that I think is one of the big matchups, seeing how they match up with the Bears receivers, even despite the injuries that the Bears have on that side of the football. I know they have a lot of them, but you look at that receiver position. You had talked about the defensive line. The Packers had bigger bodies on that D-line. They had Ryan Pickett and they had Johnny Jolly. They've gone to smaller guys. Now, one of the things that really hurt them this year was B.J. Raji getting knocked out for the season. And a little bit of background on Raji is that from all reports and understandings, he turned down, I think it was a $10 million contract. And then all of a sudden he got in the offseason and no one was giving him anywhere near that for an offer. He comes back on a one-year deal and all of a sudden, bam, he's out for the full year. They don't have those big guys on the defensive line, and the Packers do get gassed in the run game. So that's been hurting them. There's been Mike Pennell is a rookie. He looked good in the preseason, but, you know, it's a lot different. You know, you go from the preseason into the regular season, you're thrown into the fire. And they just don't have those big guys up front.
So prediction time, Brian. Are the Packers on Sunday going to give a reason for Packers fans to relax, or are we going to be in full-blown panic mode after this game on Sunday?
See, this is the tough thing when I do my Packers show and we do our picks, and I want to do this as objectively as I can, but then again, I know if I go against the Packers, someone might find me and beat me up in the parking lot. I think, despite everything we said with the defense has played well. The thing that hurt them, I think, against the Lions is time of possession. The Lions have shown that they've been able to control the football early on in the season, but the defense, when they get it back, and I talked about Devon House getting that interception, it actually worked against them because of the interception at the one-yard line, and they said his momentum had him stopped right there. And instead of sliding into the end zone and getting out on the 20, and then a safety comes out of that, I could see the Packers offense coming out and putting up some points. Like I said, they got to get to people outside of Jordy Nelson. They got to find Cobb a little bit more. They got to move him around. I don't even know if they had a guy go in motion when they played against Seattle. So maybe it's being a little bit too optimistic that they can do this. But this offense, I don't see them being down for too long. And going back to Brian Bulaga playing, even Bulaga not at 100% is better than having Sherrod there. If Sherrod's the right tackle, that we knew right away that'd be a long season. I mean, the Packers already lost Don Barclay, who was a really good player. He could play tackle and guard. They had pretty good depth there on the offensive line. But as far as going out and picking the Packers to win, I could see them doing it. It's kind of tough to pick them. But I guess if I have to represent the state of Wisconsin, then I'll go ahead and say that the Packers would win.
All right, not much of a ringing endorsement, but an endorsement nonetheless.
Yeah, it is an endorsement.
It's tough. I mean, even realistically, I thought going into last season, it was going to be a tough road. I mean, you look at the changes around that division, and you know a team like the Lions, they're not going to be down forever. If they just have the right person leading that ship, then you could see them turn around because they have a lot of talent there. You know, the Packers have been really fortunate playing within that division because you look at coaching changes and quarterback changes and stuff like that. Now you have good quarterbacks. I mean, they're changing things up in Minnesota, and they have their own issues too. But, between Stafford and Calvin Johnson in Detroit and the receivers that you had talked about with Cutler, I feel like around Wisconsin, you can't really talk too highly of Jay Cutler because people will try to cut you down, but he's got a strong arm, I always tell people, you can't count those guys out. They have a lot of weapons there. And I think they have a good coach as well.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Brian, for joining us. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian_Graff, BRYON_Graff, GRAFF. And the Green and Gold Gridiron Sports Show is Tuesday night, 6 p.m. In the Wausau Market. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Time for a six-pack of questions, Bobby, and I'm going to start off. I'm going to make it easy for you. Peyton Manning, he's your guy, right?
Of course.
He is the man. Smart businessman, too, right?
Savvy.
Very savvy. Well, as many of you may know, he owns 21 Papa John's locations in Colorado, and he gave Peter King
What was
recently,
your pronunciation there?
Colorado.
Colorado?
Colorado.
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 Carry on. Keep going.
Colorado. Colorado. We're saying the same thing.
Colorado.
Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
You say Rado. Rado. It's not rad.
Colorado.
Hey, it's rad here. How's in Colorado.
How's it spelled? Colorado. 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 Colorado.
All right, carry on.
All right. Anyway, 21 pizza places, Papa John's pizza places. His quote is, "There are some different laws out here in Colorado. Pizza business is really good out here, believe it or not, due to some recent law changes." So he is celebrating the legalizing of recreational marijuana. Did you lose respect for Peyton Manning?
Absolutely not. He bought all these Papa John's things were before the law was passed, by the way. So he not only...
I bet he knew it was coming.
He had the foresight to recognize the winds of change were coming in Denver, and he could jump on board of a big time pizza operation to get all those. Everybody that needs a pizza gets a pizza. I love it.
Wow.
More power to him.
Wow. All right.
JD, Phil Sims, he has called almost every single Denver Broncos game so far. Broncos fans hate it. So they've actually formed a petition to get him to be off their broadcast because they think he's anti-Bronco.
Mm.
Now, the Redskins playing Thursday night, their own fans don't like Phil Sims either, and they don't want him to be calling their games. Is there somebody better suited that people should be directing their ire towards as don't call any games?
In general, Hawk Harrelson.
Well, that's
in
a
general.
Whole, yeah, but
in general,
he's not a national guy.
You know, I don't. You know, Millen, I used to think was pretty bad. Doesn't do.
Now he's just studio.
Yeah, just studio now. But he really, really annoys me. But that's about it. I've never had a disdain for Phil Sims.
Yeah,
I did for Joe Theismann. He was a Viking hater. Yeah. He was a Viking hater.
Was he?
So I would have signed a petition, you know, 1,000 times under different aliases to get him out. But no, really, right now, I think there's a lot of good ones out there that I think it's pretty good. Oh, Pam Oliver.
Well, she's already kind of...
She's on her way out. This is it. She's with the second string.
You know who you might be getting back soon? Gus Johnson. Did you see this?
About how he
retired from the soccer? The pitch.
I love me some Gus. I love me some Gus. Speaking of announcers, Bill Simmons suspended 3 weeks for a little bit of a tirade he did on his podcast.
Yeah.
And ripping the NFL.
Commissioner Goodell, yep.
Commissioner Goodell. Sounds like he might have had a rift with ESPN management or so. But what does that say when he gets 3 weeks for ripping on Goodell and Stephen A. only got a week for some pretty bad things he said around the Ray Rice issue?
Yeah. You know, I think the reason why Simmons got 3 weeks was more because he dared ESPN to suspend him. And I think management there is a little bit tired of having to deal with Bill Simmons on that. I think it's way over the top, though, because Bill Simmons was doing it on his podcast, which is for his fans. His fans expect him to be over the top. And
no, that's not
like
an ESPN-run podcast.
No, it's the Grantland. It's his own personal thing. It's on Grantland.
Yep.
Now, Stephen A. Smith did his rant on First Take, which is their number one ESPN program that they try to put out there in the mornings for everybody to watch.
Yep.
So it was out there for everybody to see. And his was also... Stephen A. Smith's situation way worse than Bill Simmons. I think it's a very big overreaction, but it's because they've suspended him in the past. I think they're looking at his body of work. His prior suspensions, which is funny, is like Indomitian Sue, Bill Simmons. But I think it is, and you and I talked about this really briefly off the air.
Yeah.
It could be something that is to look forward to. Is this might be the beginning of the end for Bill Simmons with ESPN.
Could be.
JD, The Simpsons, first they had a marathon where they played every single episode ever. Then a couple weeks ago, they had a show at the Hollywood Bowl where they performed a lot of musical numbers live. They had Conan O'Brien, he performed there. John Lovitz, Hank Azaria. They had a number of people performing great songs from The Simpsons.
Nice.
Now, this coming Sunday, they're part of the Family Guy. What is the next big thing that The Simpsons can possibly do to top this year that they've already been doing?
Wow. It's kind of hard to top.
Yeah.
Because the top animated show, one of the top, is Family Guy right now. Everybody loves it. So to combine with the Family Guy,
it
makes sense. It's the same broadcasting family. Is absolutely huge. Now, what can they do to top it? Yeah. You know, they've tried a lot of things. They had Duff Beer.
Yeah,
that came out
in stores. Yeah.
I think we talked about that in season 3.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can. What more can they do? They were doing a live action movie type of thing they had talked about. Did they even make that?
Mm-mm, no.
I know it was in discussion.
Yeah.
To do a live act, more of a live, kind of a Roger Rabbit type of thing. But I cannot answer that question, Bobby.
That's
how big it's been, and you don't think after all these years it could continue to be big, and it is crazy, crazy. Bobby, it is Oktoberfest time. I love myself some beer. You went to a beer festival, if you will, mm-hmm. at the zoo.
Yeah,
which is kind of a weird place for a beer festival.
It was a very weird place.
I want to know etiquette for Oktoberfest festivals that you go to.
Okay.
Because do you go in and right away you're two-fisted mugs? Do you go in and try to taste all the different, you know, German beers that they have? Yeah. Grab a pretzel.
Yeah.
Some food. Well, what's your focus when you go in? What is your focus?
It depends on your age, buddy. If you're 21 to 30, 21 to 29, you're double fisting beers.
Okay.
If you're 29 and up, you're going out there for the purity, buddy. You're going out there, you're going to single fist a beer. Okay. You're going to walk around, you're going to taste the food, you're definitely going to have a pretzel with mustard. You're going to take your time. You're going to scout locations. That's the big thing. When you get older, you got to make sure you hit up the taps that you want to make sure you get to taste before it's Blackout City. If you're 21 to 29, it all blends in.
You don't care.
You just want to see everybody dancing around. You want to do a little polka. You want to have a good time. There's your schedule, buddy. That's how you do it.
Okay.
Pretty simple. It's all based on age.
So let's say you're over 40.
Over 40, you're going to have some of the beers brought to you.
So that's what I have to look forward to.
You're going to scout a location to sit is what you're looking for at that point.
I do like a nice quiet pub that I can sit down and
Jeet's last weekend of baseball is this weekend, buddy. Here's my question: would you skip a day of football? Sunday is his last day. He's playing at Fenway.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's playing for sure, but anyways, they're slated to play at Fenway.
Hopefully.
Would you miss a day of football to go to Fenway and watch his last game?
I hate the Yankees so very much. You know what? I grew up, my brother was a Yankee fan, big Thurman Munson fan back in the day, you know, loves Yankees. So he's pretty obnoxious about it. But that being said, this guy is pretty much an institution.
Mm-hmm.
I would skip that day of football just so I can go, you know, see a little bit of history and be able to, you know, or take my kid to it. And, and you know, he's not going to remember. But hey, check out this guy, because this guy could go down as one of the top five Yankees of all time, which is saying something because it's such a storied, horrible institution. But yeah, I would. Would you?
Broncos are on a bye week, so yeah, I'd go.
Wow. Well, with that, when we come back, last call, one stop away. Bobby, my last call comes from Washington, D.C. And they have a beer festival. We were talking about Oktoberfest earlier, but they have a beer festival. And among the 274 beers at the Snollygaster Beer Festival.
Snollygaster.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Was a brew with the most unusual ingredient. Coffee beans. You don't really think
You know what I think of when I think of coffee beans with beer?
Yeah.
And I'm totally jumping all over your last call.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Have at it.
Buzz Beer. Remember that from Drew Carey Show?
Yeah, I do remember that. Were these coffee beans salvaged from weasel poop?
They were not.
Oh, well, these were salvaged from weasel poop. Man. Now, Beer Geek Brunch Weasel, a beer brought to the festival by Danish brewer McKellar, is made from Vietnamese coffee beans passed through the digestive system of civet cats, a member of the weasel family. Now, here's a quote. The fussy Southeast Asian animals are picky and will eat nothing but the best and ripest coffee berries. Enzymes in their digestive system add to the process of breaking down the beans, which brews a strong fist in the air flavored coffee, the brewer said on the website. Now, the Washington Post reported that the beer has 10.9% alcohol by volume.
Wow.
Sold $8 a glass at the festival. And McKellar said, who would have thought drinking beer that started its journey traveling through the intestines of a weasel would taste so good? We on this show have drank beer.
Yeah, you made me drink against, without telling me I was going to drink. It was beer made from a man's beard.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the grossest beer we've probably, or concept of a beer. Would you drink this beer?
I would try it. Yeah, I'd try it. I probably won't pay $8 for it, mm-hmm. especially because I don't like coffee. But well, you know what? I'm game. I'm going to grab life by the weasel legs and have them poop into my beer and see how
you
it
know
tastes.
What? I don't think it's good. I think it's going to be a crappy beer.
Oh, shady.
Yeah, I appreciate how you just kind of like turned away. He physically turned his body away like, oh, not again. Here he goes.
Old man Miller going off on one of his jokes. Just turn away.
Pun City here again.
Let the children laugh.
JD, my last call comes from Portland, Oregon, opposite side of the United States.
Yes.
Now, this could go along with the Papa John's and Peyton Manning's, because this was a case where police officers were delivering pizza to people's homes. Now, this is one where if you were one of those Colorado residents who ordered a pizza, you would probably freak out when that happens.
Right. But it's legal. It's legal.
Yeah, it's legal, but still, a little paranoia setting in. What are these guys doing here? These officers delivered it because they were doing their job one step further. The delivery driver had hurt his neck and back in a car crash, and the officers heard him talking to his boss. He was in the middle of a delivery of a Hawaiian pie. So the officers decided they would finish the journey. And the two they took it. Officers Michael Filbert and Roy Curtis showed up at the couple's house to deliver their Hawaiian pie. And the couple actually snapped a picture of them and posted it on the interwebs to showcase all these people. They went above and beyond.
Yeah, they did.
So they're like, no one is going to believe Portland police delivering a pizza. You know what? I would totally believe Portland police would deliver that, because if you think of Keep It Weird, Portland is that place.
Now, I think your opinion is skewed a little bit by Portlandia.
A little bit.
I don't think it's as Portlandia portrayed. But you bring up a good point. Would that happen in New York? Would it happen in Chicago?
I think that pizza would get eaten by the officers in Chicago or New York.
Well, yeah, it's kind of it's something that would happen in Des Moines, you know, the good hearted people like, you know what, we're going to make sure this guy sees his thing through, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like you hear about that farmer that, you know, lost a leg by a sow, and the neighbors come around and finish pulling in his crops for him.
What?
What? Pitching in to help out. What? No, no.
How did we get here?
What? I'm just saying, good people. Good people.
Is this an advertisement for Des Moines? Is Des Moines paying you? What is going on here?
No, no, they're not paying me, but be sure to visit DesMoines.org.
Oh, brother.
Well, that is it for our show. A big thank you to Brian for joining us, giving us insight into that matchup. And make sure you watch and see what is in your beer.
Absolutely. Screen your beers, folks.
Where can you find us, Bob?
Twitter, 2 beers in. That's the number 2 beers in. You can also email the show, 2beersin@gmx.com. Are we on Facebook?
We are on Facebook. You can find us at 2 beers in on Facebook as well. Right. And don't forget, you can go to our website, 20minutes2beersin.com. We're working on that one.
We'll see you next week.
Colorado, Colorado,
Colorado,
Colorado, Colorado. Colorado, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, Colorado.
Hey, it's red here.
How's it spelled? Colorado, 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 Colorado.